So quick question, what was the big fashion trend when you were a teenager? Now, I know we got some teenagers. We'll get to you. But the older teenagers, well, give me, throw out some of the fashion that was your senior year.
Bell bottoms.
Yeah. For those of you that have no clue what bell bottoms are, they're very wide jeans at the bottom. Okay, and then if you had elephant bells, you could hardly walk. I don't even know how they even moved in those. What else? What'd you say, Sally? Crinolines. I'm going to have to Google that. I don't know about that one. Mullets. Oh. Baptized Will around the back of your pants. Woo! That'll take you back a little bit. What else? He's a maniac, right? You know, leg warmers. What else? Say that again. Oh, jean jackets, of course. With patches or without patches? Yes, right. Right. What else? I'm going to have to Google that one too, Sal. No, I'm teasing. What did you say? Oh, peroxide in your hair. Okay, all right. What else? Zoot suits? Now, who said that? Oh, like, I was like, that sounded like a young person. I was like, what young person is saying zoot suits, right? Zoot suits. Don't do that during the sermon. Zoot suits. All right, what else? What else? Oh, yeah, you may not have bad fashion, but man, I remember my sister's hair in the 90s. I mean, Marge Simpson without the stuff. What else? For me, I could never. But you had to have feathered hair. And, oh, I look back at those pictures and I think, just do the side part like Mama trained it, you know? Well, it's for some, right? For some, it's back to school season. And, you know, you wonder what the latest trend is or whatever. And, you know, the great thing about your generation is that it's not so cliquish. I mean, you all can pretty much wear what you want to wear. But back in the day, if you didn't have it, by Christmas you were asking for it and getting it as a gift so that in January you could be with the others. And it wasn't bell bottoms, Jim. We got down to boot cut. And if you didn't have boot cut jeans, you were not, I mean, you know, thermal shirts, right? Thermal shirt had to be sticking out, and then you had your plaid, you know, your warm shirt. What's that called? Say it again. Flannel. Yeah, you had your flannel, and that was the uniform. Or we shouldn't have that uniform. And so we tell our kids, I don't know what you tell your kids, but we say, inventory what you got in the closet. We don't need to spend any more money than we need to, right? And so they go about looking in their closet and doing an inventory to see what they need and so forth. And usually there's always one or two of those little items that you kind of know are the trendiest things, and you know they're going to ask for it, and you do your very best as a parent to try to suit your kid up for school. We've been in a series, This Is Us, and the Apostle Paul has living is really, he's going to bring forth the teaching. He's going to bring forth the exhortation. As a matter of fact, he says in this passage of Scripture, which is a very long passage of Scripture, but he says, I insist on it. Now, if an apostle insists on something, that's like your mom and dad, your principal. I mean, it is like from the, you know, God's mouth to his ears, through his mouth to our ears to say, listen, he insists that we take inventory on what we wear. Oh, no, not physical clothing necessarily. But how many of you? guys get it, and your mom and dad go, uh-uh, get right back in there. Come on, I want to see a raise of hands on that guilt, right? Now, we're not shaming you. We're just looking at guilt, right? You're not wearing that, right? And that doesn't represent who we are. It doesn't represent who you are, right? I could go through all the little phrases that we've heard, right? That you look like this, or you look like that, or you look like this. The Apostle Paul, just like the song we just sang, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, this is what God has done. This is who God is. This is what he has done for you. And now through that, we want you to spread this message. We want you to be as Christ where you are. No matter if you're a professional Christian or you are a solid believer, you have a job to do. We have this team that's going to work with you and train you, and now you're about to be light to the world. And then the Apostle Paul begins to hear the churches, and he begins to see the culture, and he sees, quite frankly, how the world is just pouncing on the church. This is early on. This is early influence. So Paul knows how easily influenceable we are. Just like when we were teenagers, just like when we had to wear what this person wore. I don't really like to wear because that's what the Apostle Paul says. Listen, you don't need to be wearing anything that you're not supposed to be wearing. But some of you are wearing things that are sort of letting me know your maturity in Christ. And so Paul uses this language. The passage is on the back of your worship folder. As we go through this, you'll see. He says, put on Christ. Put on the things of Christ. And he says, take off these other things. It's not clothing, but you've got to, it's adjunct. It kind of goes along with this opportunity to say, what's in your closet? What are you wearing? And in verse 4, your closet, you better do an inventory and we're going to get you some new stuff. Or you're going to hear from God or hear from friends or even the Holy Spirit convicting you, go back in that room and put something different on. He says, first thing, he says, worldliness. You see, the Gentiles, he says, do no longer live as the Gentiles. The Gentiles is a reflection of the world. Most of us are Gentiles in this room, so he's not dissing that as much as he's saying there is a worldview. There is a way of looking at the world, and you no longer look at the world that way. You're maturing. You're beginning to see, or you're maturing in seeing the world through God's eyes. When you accept Christ and you're forgiven and the Holy Spirit then indwells you, you can't help but be convicted in a different way. You can't help but see the world in a different way. Even those things that agitated you that were right or wrong or immoral, you may not have had a God center, but now that you have a God center, it even more agitates you because you just see, I knew that was wrong. But at the same time, the worldliness was getting into the church. The worldliness can start to affect us because we live in the world. The Apostle Paul in another letter says, just don't live of the world. Don't put on their apparel. Don't put on their processes. Be continually changed. Put yourself into a place to keep learning. If you read Scripture and it's not all happy, happy, joy, joy, the Holy Spirit is probably doing something in you to change your mind, to reroot you in a way that says, I'm beginning to think differently about that. And that happens across the board, no matter who's in Christ. What we can see is, though, we can stop. We can prohibit ourselves from maturing based on the fact of what apparel, if you will, what's in our closet and what we allow to put on. He says, futility of thinking. You see, the world, with its worldview, the beliefs and its behaviors, you look at it and you go, some of that's enticing. Your brain goes, the brain center, right, goes, that looks great. And so your brain says, go for that. But the Holy Spirit says, you better not do that. Or your mom and dad goes, don't do that, right? And some of us choose to do and some of us chose to do not, and sometimes we went a long way safe, and then wham, something crashed, right? The futility of the mind will come out of that to where you begin to not trust anything, not trust even yourself within this. It's a futility of thinking. It's so possessed or obsessed. Now, when I say possessed, I'm not speaking of devil. It's just the possession of our mind. It's the obsession of our mind on things that are temporal. Now, each of us have bills to pay. Each of us have goals that we want to do. Each of us have, God desires for us to live out the desires of our heart. But sometimes those things can get so heavy that we get too much into it that we're like, now it's consuming us, and we forget about the God things, and we forget about the joy that truly can be experienced in Christ. This is a temporal thing. But he desires for us to keep centering ourselves on become dark understanding. You'll see that the darkening of their understanding is when you live in darkness, you cannot help but be absorbed by it, and then you will buy into the darkness. We would say philosophically a nihilistic point of view. You look at the world, and it kind of sucks, and so then you kind of go, oh. And it becomes darkening in their understanding, and you move away. You move away from the joy that God desires to give to us. You have friends and family that just are constantly negative, and you're like, oh my goodness, you're wearing me out. That doesn't mean that you're never negative, but it's the futility, the darkness that is just so consuming them. He says, put on things that allow you to not believe the lies that you once believed. Some of us and some of you still do not have a good handle on God, and you are not taking advantage of his benefits. You're not understanding what full forgiveness can truly be. Some of you still hem and haw in your own mindset to say, did he really forgive me? Can he really forgive me? Is he that strong? And we have a tendency when we get darkened and we become futile to make our God our God size as opposed to how big he truly is. Paul's saying, get this stuff out of the closet and put on something new. You see, because if you're not careful, you're going to continue to live in ignorance. See, the deepest thing for any level of maturity is just not putting yourself into that wisdom. No matter what category of education, no matter what category of learning, the more you put in, the more you learn. Well, see, he's saying, listen, don't let that darkening and that futility, don't let it keep you ignorant. If you're in Christ, understand what it means to be in Christ and no longer live in darkness with these poor assumptions. You're not growing, quite frankly, not to offend us this morning, but for the opening of the Holy Spirit to say, what do we really have for you? What does God really intend for us? You got to stop being ignorant. You got to just know and be absorbed and put on the apparel. Several conversations in my ministry life where I've had a person say, oh, good. And, you know, I've just come to the conclusion that I'm just never really of the scripture. I understand that. I totally understand that there are things, there are concepts. I mean, you know, we will never, until we are in glory, until we are with God, fully known and being fully known and fully knowing, we're not going to master it here. But when you resolve to say, you've turned on the switch of ignorance. And so if you believe that lie, I would say, give yourself and God and teachers and small group leaders and your friends, give them more opportunity. Turn that back on. You may not know everything, but I'll tell you what, in small group, we really want you to know that you can come, and there are no dumb questions. There's an opportunity. You don't know everything, neither does anybody else. But what we do is, in a community, we grow together. So if that ignorance stance holds you back from growing in God and his word, And I pray that the Holy Spirit would release you of that fear or embarrassment, or, you know, maybe you didn't learn well in school. I'm going to tell you something that is a phenomenon that is almost miraculous to me, is that some of the non-book learning folk that I have had in my life, even in my own family, they just weren't book learners. It is amazing how when they partied with the Holy Spirit and got into God's Word, how brilliant they became biblically. If you weren't a good student, don't stand in ignorance. It wasn't in my script, but that's for somebody here today. You see, we've got to begin to put a stand on ignorance to say, I will get that out of my closet. And I might look like I got a brand new t-shirt on that you know, and it's not in total fashion, but I'm going to live it, I'm going to wear it. You see, He wants us to move. We only remember when you needed or still need that love and compassion and mercy and grace. That's what He's created the church for, so that we might be that light and that heart to the world. You see, even those of us that are in Christ, we question things and we can get pretty cynical ourselves. And we're like, yeah, that person really can't change. Listen, Paul says, take that out, put something new in. And then lastly, sensitivity in, and then giving 5 and 6, they're kind of a tandem. You see, when we allow ourselves to keep wearing the apparel of the world and we're not putting on Christ, it's amazing how sensitivity to sin kind of minimizes. And we live below the abundant life. Now we get confronted and we're like, well, you know, I still love God and everything. I just, and then he says, when you lose all sensitivity to sin, then you will give yourself permission to sin. And Paul says, take that out, something new in. And the last thing is greed. You see, the greed, we have a tendency to hear these words and we go, no, I'm good on that. I'm giving. But see, it's myopic understanding that really when it's, If it's really, you want to really know the truth, it's really all about me. And that's the worldview. It's really all about me. Oh, I care for you as long as it's me. You see, there was the Christian worldview came in, and they were truly without any agenda except to be clothed in Christ, gave, helped, secured, pulled people in. Gave them love, gave them mercy, gave them true hospitality. You see, it was a different set of clothing. It was a different kind of closet. And so Paul says, listen, man, don't be so consumed with all of this stuff that ends up consuming you and then minimizes you. I think many of us have gotten ourselves in so far that we go, man, if I could just fix this, I'd be so much closer to God. I mean, I'd be spot on. I make a deal with you that if you can fix this that I got myself into, then I will go to church, I will do this, I will do that. Stop bargaining. Stop bargaining and just put on. If you're in that mess, you've got that thing that God wants to fix, he says, put on the new clothes. It's you. That'll get fixed. But let's put on the right kind of clothing. So the Holy Spirit just desires for the remainder of this time and as we lead into communion is for us to put on our closet. There's a lot of passages I could break down each word. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit and your wisdom, even if you're at. But I think today, if you will. You give a holy God an opportunity. To look and to move and see what he wants to do in and through us. I've got a couple of volunteers who are going to be passing these out. And we're going to spend time with the Holy Spirit. And what you do is you'll see two options. The left hand is the passage broken out, and you just say, am I here or am I here? Where am I at? And just put an X on the line. Neighbor, okay? You don't have to pass them out individually. Just throw the rope. Thank you so much. Get ourselves into a spirit of focus here. Just take the time between you and God and watch Him work in your heart and your mind. And hopefully, while they're continuing to pass out, let's just... Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul, who obviously 2,000 years later loves us enough to exhort us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that so that it's truly living and active today. Father, we have a tendency to collect things in our closet. Sometimes it's nostalgia. Sometimes it's just hoarding. Other times it's because we just can't get rid of it. May your Spirit have His way in this service and in our hearts as we take inventory. Amen.